Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Today is the first day of our week. Lord, help us to find peace and joy in this week. Open your hearts and receive God's breath of new life. Lord, help us to be ready to hear your words of life. Come, let us worship the Lord with great joy. Praise be to God. Amen.
Just putting on a ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his feet.
Our God is an awesome God.
Well, the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Son. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with his dumb and power in love. Our God.
Our affirmation of faith. We sing of God the Spirit, who from the beginning has swept over the face of creation, animating all energy and matter, and moving in the human heart. We sing of God the Spirit, faithful and untamable, who is creatively and redemptively active in the world. The Spirit challenges us to celebrate the holy, not only in what is familiar, but also in that which seems foreign. We sing of the Spirit, who speaks our prayers of deepest longing and enfolds our concerns and confessions, transforming us and the world. We offer worship as an outpouring of gratitude and awe and a practice of opening ourselves to God's still, small voice of comfort, to God's rushing whirlwind of challenge. Through word, music, art, and sacrament, in community and in solitude, God changes our lives, our relationships, and our world. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Our first scripture reading comes from the first chapter of Revelation, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Above all wealth and treasures of the
Our scripture text today comes from the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Little Johnny was in the kitchen helping his mother make supper. She asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup, but he didn't want to go alone. "It's dark in there, and I'm scared." So she asked again, and he persisted. Finally, she said, "It's okay. Jesus will be in there with you." Johnny walked hesitantly to the door, slowly opened it, peeked inside, saw that it was dark, and started to leave when an idea came to mind, and he said, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you mind handing me out that can of tomato soup?" All of us in our sanctuary this morning, despite how much we might deny it, have experienced fear in some form or another. We know that fear is a paralyzing emotion that can stop us dead in our tracks, preventing us from accomplishing some activity of some sort. I know people who are so afraid of being rejected, of having someone say no, that they'll attempt to do everything themselves instead of risking having someone turn them down. Others, out of fear of failure, won't take the steps necessary to succeed. They prefer to just sit back and let the world pass them by, like the farmer who was sitting on the front porch of his shack one July day smoking his corncob pipe when a stranger came along and asked, "How's your cotton coming?" "Ain't got none," was the answer. "Didn't plant none. 'Fraid of the boll weevil." "Well, how's your corn?" asked the stranger. "Didn't plant none. 'Fraid of drought." "Well, how about your potatoes?" "Ain't got none. Scared to tater bugs." The stranger finally asked, "Well, what did you plant?" "Nothing," replied the farmer. "I just played it safe." Needless to say, he probably didn't remain a farmer for very long, did he? You see, the disciples, they were scared too, and for the moment were satisfied to just play it safe. Many of them had chosen to run away, even as their friend was murdered in a horrific fashion. Could they have done something about it? Who knows? But they had chosen to play it safe and to do nothing. Now these scared individuals silently gathered once again into the upper room where they had shared a final meal, the pungent scent faintly lingering. Terrified to leave it for fear of the consequences, the pain and the wretchedness was evident in their faces and their behavior. Some stood by themselves, visibly shaken and preoccupied with their thoughts. Others gathered in small groups but didn't exchange many words. He was the chosen one, the Son of God. If this could happen to him, what would prevent it from happening to them? Peter and John sat off by themselves. They had told the others what they had seen, an empty tomb, but even to them, it now seemed so unbelievable. because of the empty tomb, it might seem surprising to us that the disciples are afraid. After all, Peter and John have seen it. Mary Magdalene has even spoken with the risen Christ and told the others of her experience. But fear does strange things. They were traumatized by the crucifixion and afraid for their very lives. Spiritual darkness surrounds them, causing them to doubt what they've seen and what they've heard. It overshadows their souls even more so than the darkness that covered the land prior to Jesus' death. It crushes their spirit, replacing their hope for a bright future with despair. Regardless of what they'd seen, they can't believe their eyes. After all, sometimes our eyes can deceive us. Harriet, the church gossip and self-appointed supervisor of the church morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several were unappreciative of her activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked all afternoon in front of the town's only bar. She commented to George and others that anyone seeing it there would know that he was an alcoholic. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and he walked away. He said nothing. But later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Harriet's house and left it there all night long. The disciples knew sometimes sight is not the best sense to use in determining what is real and what is not. They can mislead us like George and Harriet. On the other hand, something may not be seen at all. Let's say your breath, but be very real, isn't it? That's where faith comes in. What the disciples saw at the tomb defied explanation, causing them to doubt what they saw. But they were about to have a faith-changing experience. Suddenly, a breath of fresh air fills the room as the light and life of Jesus Christ breaks through their darkness. He stands before them and says, "Shalom," or in English, "Peace be with you." Just as he had promised in John 14:27, Jesus gives these frightened disciples his peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." For them, hope is reborn and faith is restored. He gives them peace that will remain with them in spite of the world's persecution that will hate them, even as it hated him. It's a peace that envelops them, permeating every facet of their being. Jesus then repeats the phrase, "Peace be with you." He sends them into the world to minister for God's kingdom and breathes upon them the power of the Holy Spirit, which is unseen. It's not something that you can see, but this indwelling, creative, and energizing spirit causes their faith to kick in and they recall Jesus' words concerning eternal life. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." The Spirit becomes for them a self-renewing force, ensuring fellowship with Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Like the living water Jesus spoke of to the Samaritan woman at the well, the Spirit refreshing them so that they will never be thirsty again. And again, we hear him, "The water that I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." That's the power of the presence of Christ. Whoever lives with Christ and has Christ in their heart has it in their heart, an inexhaustible spring of water and a peace which lingers. To have Jesus in your life is to have his Spirit wash over you with his atoning love. It's to know a peace that is far more than one can comprehend. To know a joy that is deeper and more real than any other joy. To know a life far more abundant than anyone else can know. And to know a power that can satisfy every call upon it. It is a peace that's more than just the absence of conflict. It is a wholeness and tranquility that is a gift from God, intervening in the lives of believers and bringing harmony into human life and into the world. This breath of the Spirit rejuvenates the disciples' lives, just as God's breath gave life to the bones in the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel. As promised in John 16:20, their life of pain was turned into a life of joy at seeing Jesus alive once again, a joy so profound that they would forget their former pain and experience rebirth, a defining moment after which they will never again be fearful and unbelieving, except for Thomas. It will take another week before the man who has become known as the doubter sees the risen Jesus and has his unbelief removed and comes to know the peace that he must have felt lingering in the lives of all those around him. But we can't judge him too harshly because he hadn't seen what they had seen. Remember, their early fear demonstrated that they too had their doubts. As a result of his absence, he refuses to believe. This should serve as a lesson for us. It's difficult to believe when we do not strengthen ourselves with the fellowship of other believers. That's why we're here today. And that's why we need to be here and why we need to be inviting others, our families and friends and strangers to be a part of this holy hour of worship. So I ask you, my friends, in light of the disciples' fear, I want to ask you, what situations in life make you fearful? What are the things which cause you to doubt the power and the presence of the risen Lord? One thing we've learned this morning is that the presence of Christ comes to us in the midst of our doubts and anxiousness, just as he did the disciples. He doesn't come to condemn us, but to help us with feelings and bless us with a peace that will linger all of our lives because of our relationship with him. That's his promise from John 14:19-20, where it says, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Do you hear that? Do you know that? I am in you. The resurrection event, which we celebrated last Sunday, is not a one-shot celebration and then we move on. Easter is a momentous event that keeps on happening in the church, and it needs to be a part of our everyday lives. Easter is a joy that continues, giving rise to a hope that states that we are a part of the resurrection power of Jesus. He came to his disciples who were locked in that upper room that they might be freed to serve him. He moved among them and prodded their faith until by the power of his Holy Spirit, it no longer existed. The doubt was gone. In the same way, the risen Lord is on the move in our lives, filling us with a peace only he can give and leading us to overcome our fear and doubts that we might serve him by bringing the truth and the light of the resurrection to the world. And his is a magnificent peace indeed. A peace that fills us with contentment and will always linger in us because it is a peace given by one who loved us enough to die for us. Won't you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you that I have peace with God by grace through faith in Christ's finished work, and thank you that in him I have the peace of God to guard my heart and mind in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Thank you that I have your peace reigning in my heart, and I pray that I may be a faithful witness to the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus, knowing that the Christian life is not easy, but joy comes in the morning. We pray these things in Christ's mighty and powerful name, as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.